welcome back to the Radio Academy podcast. I'm your host, Georgie Jameson, and this week I've been chatting with former Radio Academy MD, now Deputy Director at BFBS, Sam Bailey. Sam is passionate about the opportunities that careers with BFBS can bring, and he's also got something of an exclusive for us this week. But I kicked off by asking him how his first year in the role has been.
Yeah, coming up to a year's anniversary. I started in the May after the last ARIAs. I was part-time initially because I was still working with the Radio Academy for a few more months. And then I was full-time. I became full-time at BFBS in September of last year. So it's been a heck of a ride. It's been a really, really interesting year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how has it been for you? But a ride sounds exciting.
It's thrilling to be back in a radio station. You know, I was at the BBC for a long time, mainly in and around the orbit of Radio 1. And then I took 4 or 5 years out of sort of active radio. I was with the Audio Content Fund and the Radio Academy. And obviously, radio is the first love, and it's thrilling to be back in radio. And BFBS is like no other radio station. I mean, it's the scope of BFBS is extraordinary, and I think probably unfamiliar to many people. It's a huge international operation, and BFBS doesn't just do radio. I think people in our industry know it as a radio brand, as a radio station. And there's a huge operation to bring TV to people serving overseas. There's big technology. We distribute and transmit all our own TV and radio, in the most part, at least. We have a big news operation, training academy, creative agency. There's all sorts going on. To understand the scope of the charity and to understand the scale of the operation I've been talking about being on this steep learning curve this whole time. I feel like I'll be on this learning curve for years to come. It's massive.
Tell me a little bit about let's concentrate on the radio and audio side of it, obviously. So tell me a little bit about the stations, because there's national stations and there's local ones as well, isn't there?
Yeah. So, I think the way that I describe the main BFBS service, which some people historically might have heard, might know as BFBS Radio 1. It used to be called that, because there's also a BFBS Radio 2. There's also our BFBS Gurkha service, which is in the Nepalese language. We have a number of brand extensions, kind of music-led services. But the main BFBS network is one service made up of 16 stations. So where I am speaking to you from today is our headquarters in Chalfont in Buckinghamshire. And from there, we put together a sort of a global sustaining service, which then 15 local stations around the UK and the rest of the world opt in and out of to create a local service. So we are on a national DAB platform. We are on DAB on the DAB Plus MUX nationally. You can pick us up almost anywhere. And then we are on 7 community radio FM licenses in the UK, plus 3 in Northern Ireland. As part of that, and we are on 7 local FMs overseas, and all of these local FMs in the UK and overseas are where there are significant concentrations of military serving personnel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in the UK, that's places like Catterick Garrison in North Yorkshire, Bryce Norton, the big RAF base in Oxfordshire, Colchester Garrison, Salisbury Plain, a super garrison, 3 FMs in and around Belfast in Northern Ireland, a big garrison in Scotland. And then I've missed some there, I'm sure. I always miss some. still learning, guys. And then overseas, I think the places where you might expect there to be large concentrations of serving people, so the Falklands, Gibraltar, Cyprus, where there's 3 army bases, a big RAF base, Bahrain, Brunei. And then, as I say, there's the Gurkha service as well, which is in the Nepalese language and headquartered in Kathmandu, which I'm yet to visit, but very much looking forward to. So that English language service is, in the most part, local stations opt out for their breakfast and afternoon shows. Some stations are bigger than others and opt out for a third or a fourth show here and there. But then there's that constant sustaining service which comes out of Chalfont and which also runs the UK national schedule. So it's, again, this is what makes it unlike, I think, any other radio service. But it is one music offering. It's one that's programmed centrally, the music's programmed centrally. So it's familiar in that aspect of kind of almost like networked commercial radio with local opt-outs.
Is it commercial? Do you have advertising?
No, it's not. We're funded by a contract with the Ministry of Defence. You know, we're a welfare charity and we exist to provide welfare to serving people and their families and veterans. And we're funded by the MOD to deliver that service to their people. We run a familiar clock to people that are familiar with sort of commercial radio timings. We have a top of hour news. And then on the 20 and the 40, we have ad breaks, but we don't play adverts. We play promotions for services that are being offered offered to the military community. So those may be MOD messages, or they may be charities like SAFA or Royal British Legion, or any number of small charities that are offering something to our audience. And it's a really valuable channel to get messages out to people. We invite everybody in the military community, if they're offering a free service to the military community at large, to use those and to kind of take out free ads, if you like, with us. We call them promos. But it's a familiar structure in that respect. But we're absolutely not commercial. We are a public service funded by the MOD. And it takes us to some incredible places, and has, certainly in our overseas operation, has us living and working alongside our audience. And that's another thing that makes it so unique.
And your audience is obviously serving military personnel, but their families as well, back here in the UK or wherever they may be, ex-military personnel? I mean, have I missed anyone, or is that the core of your audience?
So clearly the purpose is welfare for serving people and their families. That's what we call the entitled audience. And then there's a huge community of people that are interested in the military. Of course, veterans are a significant part of our community, but there are people that I sort of call military aligned or military interested. We have a national UK station that you can listen to almost anywhere on DAB, and we have a significant audience on that, upwards of 500,000, you know, depending on any given quarter, as people will be familiar with the ebb and flow of audience figures. But we're a significant national brand. That isn't all serving people. So we know that a significant chunk of that national audience is people that are interested in the military, are interested in military culture, or frankly, just people that are interested in our music offer, which I think is, from my experience of being at the BBC and my awareness of other radio services, I think is really quite unique in the marketplace. If you think that the average age of a serving person is 31, you know, 80% of them are under 35. So our music offering is sort of 20 to 40, which I think is broader and in a different bracket than most services. So it's sort of, it's Radio 1.5, you know, it's where Radio 1 stops at 25 and Radio 2 picks up at 35. And it targets that sort of wider group because it doesn't target by age or economics. It targets by interested in the military. Targeting age 20 to 40, we are bringing in the new music that you'd hear on Radio 1, but we are also playing a lot of the recurrence that you might hear on Radio 2. I think if you haven't heard BFBS and you're not sort of familiar with it, and you think maybe it's just for serving people, or it's just news, or it's just people over there and the other side of the world, give it a try and have it and see what you think about the music offering, because I think it does stand out.
This week's winner of Fresh New Music, it is Take That and You and Me. I'm so nervous. Look, there was a spoken song tie last month for March, and it's time to settle this thing. Andy in Gibraltar against Brian for Team UK.
Spoken. Song. Can you speak along?
Brian, let me tell you the rules. Are you ready?
Yep, go for it.
You get 60 seconds, you only get one pass, and you've got to try and get through as many of these songs as you can. As soon as you know it, shout out the artist's name and the title. Like, cut me off if you know it as soon as you do, and we'll move on to the next one, see how many you can get through.
Okie dokie, let's give it a go.
3, 2, 1. Well, sometimes I go out by myself and I look across the water. You only get one pass.
Jesus. That's Valerie. Now, are you after...
Go for it. Come on, you're running out of time. Just say it. Whoever did
Amy
it.
Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, we'll have it.
Tell me about careers with BFBS. I know this is something you're passionate about. And I think there are some misconceptions and preconceptions about what it's like to work for your service. So, for example, I thought that you couldn't work for BFBS unless you were ex-military.
Wow, really?
That's not the case, is it?
Wow.
I actually thought that, yeah.
No, not at all. No, I think, you know, the people that work here are broadcasters. You know, there's a strong kind of element of military covenant in the company. There are a number of reservists. There are people, the company massively supports people that are reservists and need time to do their reserve duties. And that's, you'd expect that. But the vast majority of people that work here are not veterans, have not necessarily got any military experience in their background. I don't. And I think a lot of people that work here don't. And they're broadcasters in the most part. Now, I've been doing a lot of recruitment since I've been here. What we tend to do is bring people in to one of our UK bases. We employ people as presenter producers. So they get a 3-hour show in a day and they have to fill that show and they have to organize it themselves. And we employ everybody on a mobile contract. And by mobile, I don't mean mobile phone. alone, I mean, we would move you around all of the places that we've got, our 15 different locations around the world. And it's a fantastic opportunity to travel the world and make radio. I mean, and go to some of the most extraordinary places that you wouldn't otherwise have access to. I visited the Falkland Islands in January. It's the most extraordinary location. And it's on so many people's bucket lists, you know, to be on a windswept beach with penguins. But then, you know, we have Cyprus and Gibraltar in the sunshine. We have, we're in Germany. We're in the Middle East and the Far East. We start you off in the UK. We're looking for people for whom a radio studio is already a very familiar place. We're looking for people who can operate a desk and have done a number of years. But that could be at community radio level. That could be at a voluntary level. We're very happy to be people's first professional radio gig. And I've employed a number of people that are at that stage in their career. We'll give you 6 to 12 months in the UK, and then we'll send you off around the world, fully supported, all your accommodation and meals. You know, you live in the officer's mess when you work overseas. Oh, so you live and work with your audience. And if I were to turn back the clock and go back to talk to myself age 24, 25, I'd say give this a go.
Oh, well, I was going to say this isn't just a job though, Sam, is it? This is a lifestyle.
It's
choice.
Absolutely a lifestyle. Yeah, and that does narrow our field. You know, there are of course people.
You've got to be young and single to do this, haven't you?
not necessarily young, but I think that, you know, in those
single
in those first few years, you need to have that flexibility and that understanding in your relationships back home to be able to move. But eventually, once you've been in the company for a while, we post people for lengthy postings, 2-3 years at a single location, and family quarters are available at that point, and you're not living in the officer's mess anymore. You can bring your other half out with you. And we do have people who have kids and who are station managers at our overseas stations, for example, and they have families out there with them doing the schooling on the military base, again, alongside the audience. So that element of flexibility is important for a BFBS presenter, because we need you to be able to, you know, you can't voice track it from home in a cupboard. You know, you have to be able to kind of be amongst the audience, tell their stories, understand the work that they do, so that you can be authentic in being a BFBS broadcaster, yeah.
What other kind of careers are there? Just, I mean, we talked about presenter, producer, but what else is there if there are people listening who are more behind the scenes? What other kind of opportunities do you offer?
We have a technology department. There are engineering opportunities. There's a news department. There's a social media team. You know, there are all the things you'd expect from a modern broadcasting organisation, especially since, I think, on the engineering side, especially there where we don't, in the most part, outsource our engineering. We are rigging transmitters in masts in the wind in the Falklands ourselves and all of that. Obviously, we have key partners. We work with BT, we work with Arqiva and so on the macro stuff, but we do a lot of good old-fashioned broadcast engineering ourselves here. So those opportunities are around. I think on the actual editorial radio side, it is the presenter-producer role which is the dominant one, and gives people the scope to go out, gather content, talk to people, tell stories from their patch across the rest of the network. So if you're in Cyprus and you're telling a story, that story will be on the national network in the UK, and it will be played out in the Falklands, and it will be played out in Bahrain. You know, it's not just local to your patch. The stuff all goes in a central pot because we're about telling the stories all over the world.
I want to ask you about how BFBS moves forward in the digital age. I mean, we live in a world of internet where anyone can listen to anything anywhere. When you first started, this was about a voice from home, wasn't it? This was about being able to communicate with people who are in far-flung places where you couldn't always get hold of people. That isn't the case now. So what is the future for BFBS moving forward?
It's a really big question. I think, yeah, BFBS is 80 years old. We were founded just at the end of the Second World War and, you know, second in age as a public service broadcaster only to the BBC. Of course, we have modernised continuously throughout that time. And I think it's a really big question for us at the moment. First thing I would, I guess, observe, having spent some time, particularly in the Falklands, is that I wouldn't take mobile phone connectivity for granted in all of the locations that we are in. I think a lot of our audiences, we call them semi-connected. You know, you might have a little bit of 3G in the odd spot here or there, but the idea that you can have Wi-Fi anywhere in an island in the middle of the South Atlantic, for example, is not a given. That obviously will change. There are new technologies coming along around that, but it does mean we're still in the world where good old-fashioned FM transmitter is a really good way of reaching people. The other thing that I would say is, as with any of the arguments around broadcasting versus, say, Spotify or YouTube, it's about tailoring the content of the service to continue to appeal to an audience. And that's something that we, like any broadcaster in this stage, have to be continuously aware of, is making sure that the content that we're gathering, the stories that we're telling, are things that people want to listen to. And I think by doing that, we're creating a service which, yeah, people can, if they've got some IP connectivity, can download a podcast, they can listen to some Spotify. But we need to make sure that BFBS is part of that diet as well, by making sure that we are reflecting them, that we are speaking to them, that we're tailoring our service to what their needs are in whatever that environment is. And I think that we've got the opportunity to do that with the unique remit that we've got. So yeah, we've got to be continuing agile too. We make podcasts as well. We're nominated in a couple of categories for the ARIAs, which we're delighted about. And, you know, and we were last year as well. And we have been a presence in podcasting for some time. It's still massively a growth area for us, as it is with many legacy broadcasters. And we'll be developing new things there. And so that's the other thing, is just making sure we are part of that game, that we're not resting on our linear laurels, as no broadcaster should.
You mentioned podcasts there. Congratulations, Silver at the New York Radio Awards for Warrior on Fire. Near Death is the podcast that's been nominated for Best New Podcast and Best Factual Single Program for the episode From Saving Lives to Taking My Own, nominated for two ARIAs there.
And Warrior is actually an episode of Near Death as well.
They're all standalone episodes, aren't they?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
They're incredible, but very distressing, but inspiring.
They can be a hard listen. They can be a hard listen. And there's a warning at the top of them to acknowledge that. You know, these are stories of people that have been through the most extraordinary circumstances that you and I would never want to go through or put our loved ones through. But it's a reminder that people do that as a job, as part of our national defence. And I think that Near Death is an opportunity to let them tell their stories. It's a first-person account format. There's no interviewer. It's a person telling the story of what happened to them, and it's beautifully soundscape. I'll take your congratulations. It's actually not out of my team. It's made by a team called BFBS Creative, which is our creative agency, our commercial agency within BFBS. But we're really proud of that series, and I think it showcases what we can do, but it also demonstrates the incredible stories that are out there amongst the military community.
Normally, our day-to-day sort of operational duties while in Basra were to patrol and guard like our bases and be on a quick reaction force, where if anything was happening to people who's either on patrol or anything in the local area, we could be mobilised to move within minutes. And it was during one of these periods of time where we were on QRF, the quick reaction force, that we heard of a sort of like a riot bubbling up at one of the police stations local in town. Details were drip feeding through, but what we did know at the time was we're going to go there, we're going to support this operation, because quite a large crowd's forming, something's happened at the prison, and we need to go there to support.
Soundscaping is beautiful on it. Eerie, but it really lends to that content. Yeah, a very, very powerful listen, but
very moving.
What people go through and it's important to get those stories out there for the military community as well, so that civilians like me understand the incredible sacrifices that they make.
Yeah, look, it's a job that I wouldn't want to do. I'm a media lovey. I do this in order to, this is, you know, if I can make them smile at the end of a day like that, then that's our job at BFBS. And I've been talking a lot with the team since I've been here about making sure our content is fun, that it's creative, that it's bringing audience voices on air. And I think that that's how we can provide that service to make sure people, yeah, they hear the stories and perhaps they're moved, but at the end of the day, they are entertained and they are distracted and they are allowed to escape for even just 2 minutes because they liked something that somebody said between some songs.
Now you've got some exciting news for us. New schedules.
Yeah, so look, BFBS is a national DAB radio station, and we are launching a new schedule on May the 13th with a new national UK national breakfast show hosted by Cam Kelly and Danny G, with a new drive time show from our presenter George Ryland, who's been on breakfast for the last few years, and a new evening show with Rachel Price, which comes out of Northern Ireland, alongside our existing UK shows Totally Connected and Richard Hatt's afternoon show. So it's been a long time coming. We've been working on this since I started here, but we're really excited to launch the new shows. So if everybody was thinking I might give BFBS a try, from the week of May the 13th might be the time to dip into that.
Sam, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, as always. Thank you for your time.
Lovely to talk to you, Georgie. Lovely to be on a podcast that I helped to found. I never thought, kind of 2 years later, that I'd be talking on the Radio Academy podcast. How lovely.
How can people find BFBS if they want to find out more?
bfbs.com/radio. We have an app. We have a website. You can ask Alexa. We're on DAB. And if you happen to live in one of the areas where there's an intense concentration of military people in the UK, you may well find us on FM as well. But all the details are on the website, bfbs.com/radio.
To Sam Bailey for being our guest this week and talking about all things BFBS. Don't miss out on your ARIAS tickets. The big night is the 7th of May, so not long now. And remember, any member of the Radio Academy can buy a ticket for themselves and a guest. You don't have to be nominated to go to the ceremony. It's a great night to celebrate our industry, meet up with old colleagues, and network with some potential new ones. There's still a few days left to vote for the Radio Times Moment of the Year as well. You need to choose your favourite soon, though, as voting closes on the 28th of April. Go to radiotimes.com/radio, then click on ARIA's Moment of the Year. I'll see you next week.